You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn to Matthew 13. We'll start there. You know, I've been teaching on Wednesday night. We started a couple of weeks ago on Wednesday nights teaching a series on seeing spiritually. And seeing not just naturally, but also seeing spiritually. And we start out with 2 Corinthians 4:18, where it says, we look not at the things which are seen, but the things are not seen. The things which are seen are temporary. The things which are not seen, they are eternal. So that night we taught on there's two ways of looking at things. You can look at temporary things, natural things, or you can look at spiritual things. You can look naturally or you can look spiritually. And over in 1 Samuel 16 chapter, where the prophet and the judge Samuel came and picked out a king, he picked out David. When he first came to David's family, he looked at all of his brothers first. And when he saw his first brother, Eliab, the oldest, he said, man, surely here's the Lord's anointing. And God spoke to him, 16th chapter, 1 Samuel. He says, don't you look on his countenance, for the Lord doesn't see as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. And so we talk about how there's two ways of looking at people. You can look at people just as the height of their stature. You can look at the way they look on the outside, or you can look at their heart. Thank God, God looks at our heart. Amen? There's two ways of looking at things. Two ways of looking at people. And then Mark the 6th chapter, Jesus went to his hometown and he preached in his hometown. And it says many didn't receive him and he could do no mighty work there, but laid his hands on a few sick folk. And he marveled at their unbelief. That's repeated also in Matthew 13. But it says, is not this the son of the carpenter, Joseph? And his mother Mary, isn't his brother James and Judas and Joseph, aren't they here? Aren't his sisters here? See, they looked at him in the natural. And so they didn't receive from the Spirit. We can do that in a church. We can do that in a church service. We can do that with a minister. We can have a problem with a minister or a problem with the way somebody looks or just don't like the person, you know. And they get up and minister and we don't receive anything because we just see them in the natural. We don't see them in the Spirit. So it keeps us from receiving. So there's two ways of looking at Jesus. Amen. And then there's two ways of looking at yourself. Paul talked about it in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter. You know, he said over there in the 8th, 9th, and 10th verses, he says, he started talking about how he wasn't worthy to be an apostle, he persecuted the church of God. And he says, but, the 10th verse, but I am what I am by the grace of God. Amen. He negated what he just said. He saw himself before as the one who persecuted the church, but now he sees himself differently, but I am what I am by the grace of God. Two ways of looking at yourself. And so if you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, well, old things pass away, all things become new. In fact, we often quote that, you know, 1 Corinthians 5:17 or 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you back up the verse before that, he said, I know no man after the flesh any longer. Though I knew Christ in the flesh, I know him this way no longer. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So he was saying we don't look at people except in Christ. You ought to look at yourself that way too. Amen. So anyway, we talked about two ways of looking at things, two ways of looking at people, two ways of looking at Jesus, two ways of looking at yourself. And last week we talked about how sometimes in a natural situation, we're not seeing spiritually, we're not seeing God's provision, his protection, and we looked at Hagar. Remember Hagar? You don't hear a lot of sermons on Hagar. But when she finally was booted out of the house, her and Ishmael, and he was left for dead, and she was out of water, and she crawled away, left him under a bush. She's getting ready to die. God said, hey, listen, I've heard his cry. And he opened her eyes, it said, and she saw a well of water. Wow. You can just be overwhelmed by the natural, overwhelmed by the circumstances in the natural, and be blind spiritually. You need to open your eyes to see God and see his provision. Yeah. Then we went over to 2 Kings 6 chapter. Remember where Elisha was surrounded by the armies, you know. The Syrian army had come and surrounded him, and his servant comes running and says, man, what are we going to do? We're surrounded. And he said, those that are for us are more than those be against us. And the servant thought, man, I'm surrounded by enemies. My master's lost his mind. Yeah. And he says, Lord, open his eyes. That's what it says, open his eyes. And he opened his eyes. The Lord opened his eyes, and the hills were filled with chariots and angels of fire. So he just saw his problem, but he should have opened up his spiritual eyes and saw the provision. I love that. Open your eyes. Psalms 119 tells us that. It was the 18th verse. It says, open thou mine eyes, open thou mine eyes. And of course, Ephesians, the first chapter, where that classic prayer which Paul is praying for the church at Ephesus, he's saying, I pray, God, that you would grant them the spirit of wisdom, revelation, the knowledge of you, the eyes of their understanding being enlightened, the eyes of their spirit being enlightened, they may know what is the hope of your calling and the riches, the glory of your inheritance in the saints. And the 19th verse says, and the exceeding greatness of your power to usward who believe. You need your eyes open to see the greatness of God's power. You need your eyes open to see the provision of God and the protection of God. Amen? Hallelujah, somebody. Come on, y'all help me tonight now. So with that in mind, I just want to continue that thought about spiritual eyes, you know, open your spiritual eyes, seeing things spiritually, not just naturally. Sometimes even after we had our eyes open, we can kind of dull our seeing and dull our hearing, and we can get hardened sometimes to the things of God because of familiarity, because we've been there, we've heard that, done that, heard that sermon, all read that verse, been to church all my life. Are you with me? I mean, I, as a minister, I can get that way. Well, I preach every message there is. Goodness gracious, I've been pastor for 27 years. Just give me the Bible. Open up anywhere. I'll just preach a message out of any verse. And see, I get to thinking it's all natural. And I get dull. I can get dull. I'm not. That's my confession to you, and I'm sticking to it. I'm not dull. Y'all quit amening me on this. I can get dull. You're going, yes. Yes. Now you got to keep it fresh. But you got to keep your eyes open. Right. You can't just, you know, I've studied too long, and I've served God too long, and I've preached too many sermons, and I've been too many church services to stop right now and just bask in the glory of what's happened. I am now in a position where I can really be using that.
Yeah. Amen. Good.
You've been saved too long. You've served God too long. You've heard too many sermons. You've prayed too many prayers. You've had too many miracles. You have too many answers to prayers to stop this thing now and just sit back on a porch and rock and with your glass of iced tea and tell all those old stories. Now, thank God for testimonies. But we got to keep our eyes open because there's more coming. We're in position now to do more than we've ever done.
Yeah, that's right.
Why would I quit now? I was born for such a time as this. Now, I got to watch. I got to watch my eyes and I got to watch my ears, you know, that I don't close them, that I don't get dull, that I don't just kind of fade away or slip away and just talk about the old times. Are you with me? Thank God for old times. Thank God for this time. Amen? So here's Jesus, and he's speaking in parables. You know, Matthew 13, you found it? He's speaking in parables. The disciples are asking him, you know, why are you're talking in parables? 10th verse, the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. To him he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. That's interesting. It could be taken away because you don't understand. Because you cease to understand, you cease to see, you lose what you have. Therefore, 13 verse, I speak to them in parables. Because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. You might think, well, that's kind of mean. And I mean, why didn't Jesus do that? Make it harder on them. Actually, if they'd been listening, the parables would open up truths to them. But since they weren't listening, it actually closed them more to the truth. See, it's not just putting out the truth. You've got to receive the truth. You've got to be hungry for the truth. You know, the Son, God doesn't harden people's hearts. Stay with me on this point. I mean, you can go back and you look at Pharaoh and it says he hardened his heart, but several times it says Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Are you with me? You go over in Romans 9, Romans 11, it talks about God hardens who he wills and so on and so forth. But if you take it apart and look at it in context, that's a big word, context. I love that, don't you? I mean, that actually means take it in light of the rest of the Bible. We don't always like to do that. We like to pick one verse that agrees with what we believe out of context. But if you take it in context with the rest of the Bible, what happens is God's just like the sun shining. And it's interesting that you could lay a block of clay out in the sun, and you can lay a block of wax out in the sun, and it will melt the wax and it'll harden the clay. Now, whose fault was that? You can say, well, it's the sun's fault. No, it's not. It's the material that was exposed to the sun. Y'all awake? Okay. A couple of you look like you fell asleep on that one. It's what you come with. It's the kind of person you are that determines how you're affected by the word. You say, well, that's a hard message. That message hardened. Well, you know, maybe you came, you old block of clay, you came in here. Hello, I've done it. I've been there. I have been in services where I was upset, bitter, whatever. I didn't get anything. That's why people get so excited about camp meetings, because they're expectant, they're ready, they come wanting to hear something. They don't always come to church that way. But when we have a big camp meeting or something, man, favorite speaker's coming, whatever. You know, it's not that they're so good, it's just that we're ready. Woohoo! We're like a block of wax, ready to be melted. We have not hardened our heart or dulled our hearing or eyesight. I mean, this is fascinating what Jesus goes on to say, 14 verse. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, now here's the truth of the matter here. He continues the thought. Hearing you will hear and shall not understand. Seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. They've grown that way. Gotten complacent about the things of God. Less excited about the word as we used to be. Don't pray like we used to pray. Hello. Now listen. This is a positive message. This is not a negative message. This speaks to all of us. We've got to fan the flames. We've got to stir ourselves. We've got to shake ourselves. Amen? There's hope. We can turn the thing around by getting stirred up again and getting excited again. See, it's an amazing thing about truth doesn't come unless you seek it. And God doesn't fill you unless you're hungry. He that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. He didn't say everybody needs it will be filled. We all need it. Come on. But only those that hunger and thirst after it are going to get it. Seek, you'll find. He didn't say just walk along in life and you'll find something. You know, we often use that around East Texas. You know, we say even an old blind hog will find an acorn if he digs around that tree long enough. Well, no. No, we're talking about purpose. We're talking about, God's talking about you seeking something. You going after something. You coming with a hunger. You're hungering after God. You know you need Him. I know I need Him. I know I need Him more. I need to hear more of what He has to say. Amen? We all wind up somewhere in life. Some of us just wind up there in purpose. Are you with me? I want to wind up somewhere on purpose. We're all going to wind up somewhere. Why don't we wind up somewhere on purpose? Amen? Finding the will of God. Purposely being used by God. Hallelujah. So it says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand. Seeing you will see and not perceive. 15th verse. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. And their eyes they have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Lest they should understand with their heart and turn so that I should heal them. Wow. So God really does want to bless us. But we got to open up our ears and got to open up our eyes. Amen. We can't come into the thing hard-hearted. We can't come to the Word hard-hearted. We can't come to church hard-hearted. We can't come to a message or to if we're listening to a CD or watching TV or in church, whatever. It's just as important that you come ready as it is that I come ready or whoever else is ministering up here. Are we perfect? There's nobody perfect. Are you kidding? I mean, somebody's going to like these jeans and somebody's not going to like these jeans. Hello. Somebody's going to like my East Texas accent, and somebody's not going to like that East Texas accent. Somebody's going to be thinking of something I did. Some of you are not going to know what I did. And everybody quit thinking about what I might have done right now, okay? I'm just making a point here. If you were up here, it could be the same way. We'd be sitting there thinking about you. I don't like her. I don't like him. Hello. And missing out on the Spirit of God. Missing it because we're duller here and we're close our eyes. We're not getting it. And boy, we don't want to be that way. Amen. We ought to come with an excitement, come with a hunger, come with a desire, come with open eyes, hearing ears. I love that acronym, hearing ear. Pat Upham, I think, said that years ago. Hearing ear, E-A-R, is to expect, to anticipate, and receive. So we come with high expectations. We come anticipating God to move in our lives tonight. We come hearing the word with the hunger and the desire to hear, to see it. Open our spiritual eyes to see what He's saying. See, Jesus talked about some parables, and all they heard was the story. He was telling them spiritual truth. Even the disciples had this problem. He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And they said, man, do we forget to bring bread? And he said, what is it? Why can't you see? And why can't you hear? He's talking to him about the, you know, about the doctrine of the Pharisee, the teaching of the Pharisee. Hello. The woman at the well, remember the woman at the well came to Jesus, John 4 chapter, she was Samaritan, came to Jesus. She was marveled that Jesus even spoke to her. She said, how is it that you being a Jew speak to me as a woman and a Samaritan? Because the Samaritans and the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. And he said something about getting some water for her, so and so forth. And he says, I've got water that if you drank of, you'd never thirst again. And she said, Lord, you don't even have a bucket. Now that would be spiritually blind, okay? She was not getting what he was saying. He was talking spiritually. She's thinking naturally. Often we do that. All these truths. And sometimes we'll take these truths, and they're wonderful truths, and we think that's a great sermon message. I wish so-and-so was here because they really needed that. All that time, we're the ones that needed it. Amen. So he's quoting this prophetically. These people had closed their eyes. He was trying to minister to them. They weren't getting it. But it was their fault. It wasn't his fault. And we can do something about that. That's the good news. We can change that scenario. We can change that problem. We can come hungry, open our eyes, anticipating God to move, come ready, desiring what He has for us. How many of you want to know more about God? Well, I do. How many of you want to know more about His will in your life? You know, this is a short trip down here. I don't think you got that. We always get that figured out. I don't always think about it as like I should. But you know, if I lived to be 100 years old, it's a blip on the chart. Just a blip on the chart. We don't have that long down here. Only what we do for Christ is going to last. And only what we do for Him is going to have eternal rewards and benefits. And only what we pass on to others about Christ, about Jesus, about His Word, is going to impact their lives. You know, I can still be preaching the gospel after I go on to be with the Lord, if Jesus tarries, because of what I have said and what I've imparted in other people, younger generations and children and grandchildren and so on and so forth. I want to make a difference. I want to make a mark, not in just this life, but in the next life. I want to keep on preaching. Brother Osteen is still preaching. Brother Osteen is still preaching through me. He really is. I hear his voice. I hear his sermons. I hear the voice of God. Don't think I'm hearing voices. Got to cover all the bases here. Pastor is hearing voices, y'all. He's talking to Brother Osteen. Brother Osteen's in heaven. What I mean, I hear those sermons. I hear those words. Man, that fire, that passion, the things that stirred me. I read through scriptures and I hear Brother Osteen's voice many times. I remember that. He's still preaching through me, see. He impacted me. He left something that's eternal. I want to do that. You can do that. We can all do that. But we got to see this thing spiritually. We've got to open up our spiritual eyes, spiritual ears, and really hear. Turn over to Acts 28. Paul had the same problem with the people he's trying to minister to also. Now see, this is something you have to be on guard of. I'm talking to Christians here tonight. I'm talking to people who know the Lord. You know, Paul, of course, was taken into captivity. He was taken to Rome. He was captive in Rome and eventually actually died there in Rome. But while he was captive there, he actually had favor. What was so neat, he went to Rome, and when he closed out the book of Luke, that's where he was. But he had his own place. I mean, he had a guard there. He wasn't with the rest of the prisoners. And he received visitors, and he ministered to people, and so on and so forth. When he first got to Rome, in this 28th chapter, this account, when he got to Rome, he called the elders together, the Jewish elders that were in Rome at that time, because he wanted to discuss with them and share with them the fulfillment of Judaism. He wanted to share with them the Messiah had come, the completion of all they had been taught and all they had studied. I mean, that's what he'd do. Every city he went to, he'd go to the Jews first. And, of course, the Jews would reject him, and then he'd wind up going to the Gentiles. So here he is. He has all these leaders together. They haven't really heard a whole lot about it, but they've heard everything they heard was negative. That's what they said. We've heard some bad things about this, but we don't know a lot about this sect, this way, this Christianity thing. And so he gathered them together, some of the prominent Jews in his jail cell, and he began to minister to them. And it says here in the 23rd verse, "So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him in his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both from the law of Moses and the prophets, from morning till evening. Man, wouldn't you like to have been there? I'd love to have heard that. Paul, you know, he just lays it out. His writings are so awesome. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. How's that possible? Was there something wrong with the message? Was there something wrong with what he said? No. Some were persuaded, and some disbelieved. Man, I guess it could be like that in every church service. I think it could be. I can think of services that I didn't get anything. And it wasn't a preacher's fault. Hello. I can think of sermons I've got a lot. In fact, depending on how I came to the service, depending on what I took away from the service. How you come to the table determines how you leave the table. If you don't come hungry, you're not going to take a lot with you. Isn't that true? How many times you sat down at the meal because it's time to eat and we just do it? That's what we do. We sit down. And you just didn't hardly eat anything. I know, Mike, you're thinking, I can't remember. I never sat down and not ate anything. No, just stay with me. Stay with me, okay? I mean, for whatever reason, you sat down, just weren't hungry, and just didn't eat a whole lot, you know? Well, we got to come hungry, or we're not going to leave with a whole lot. Okay. All right, just get that out of your head, Mike. That's okay. All right. So it says, some believed. Wow. Some were persuaded. I love that. But then it says some disbelieved. So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. And he quoted the same verse that Jesus quoted out of Isaiah. It's Isaiah 6, chapter 9, verse, what he's quoting. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our father, saying, go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Man. Did you know every time we hear the word, it's to help us, it's to bless us, it's to heal us, it's to save us, it's to deliver us, it's to give us peace. But it has a lot to do with how we receive the word. You know, we often quote Romans 10:17, and I believe it. It's the word, no question. But the context, you've got to get in context. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word. Well, that's true in one sense, if you come listening and ready to hear, but you can hear the word and not have faith. Just by virtue of sitting in a service doesn't mean you're going to get faith. If you come persuaded, and you're persuaded, yes, faith will rise. If you come and it just doesn't make a difference, doesn't impact, you're not thinking about applying it, you're not thinking about the future in terms of Christ and His will, the Bible, Jesus, and you know, it's not going to make a difference. You can hear the word and it won't do any good. Classic case, Jesus said it. He said, a wise man will hear my words and do them. And he built his house upon a rock. He says, a foolish man will hear my words and not do them. So you can hear it, not do it, or you can hear it and do it. They both heard. Amen? So spiritually, when we talk about spiritual eyesight, open our spiritual eyes, why is it so important? It has everything to do with the outcome of our lives. It has everything to do with whether we're going to get anything or not. If we don't come believing, if we don't come expecting something, if we're coming just out of duty or obligation, then we're not going to get what God wants us to have. I don't want to get to that point. I mean, I've been doing this a long time. Stay with me. And it's easy to fall into a rut of doing things because that's just what we do. Well, it is right, and we want to keep doing it. But I want to stay excited. I want to stay hungry. I want to stay full of desire to hear what God has to say. There's so much more I don't know. Hello? And I want to be persuaded. I don't want to get dull of hearing and dull of eyesight. I want to see. And I don't want to let slip what I've already got, too. Hebrews 2. Turn to Hebrews 2. Is this helping you? I know this is really instructive. This is kind of discipling tonight. We're kind of going that direction. Just the way we roll. Hebrews 2. We need it, amen. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you came tonight. Praise God you're here. And so don't take this in a bad way. Take it in a good way. I need this. I'm preaching to me. You know, usually I just minister what I need to hear. Because I figure if I need it, you need it. Amen? Now that does not mean when I preach on real heavy on sin that I'm in sin. I don't want you to... I just have to preach on that from time to time. We need to live holy. Amen? So it says Hebrews 2 here, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Wow, I love the new King James there. King James says, lest we let it slip, I think. Does it say that? Lest we let it slip. We need to give more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. The New American Standard says that we need to pay much closer attention to what we've heard, lest we drift away from it. You know, I'll tell you something. I'm not going to just get up one morning and just quit serving God. But there is a danger that if I get complacent about God, that I would slowly drift away. Hello? Most people don't just get up and quit going to church. They just miss a little or a little more, and they just... Are you with me? No stones to throw. We're just saying these are things you have to be aware of. Most people don't just stop reading their Bible. They miss a day or two or three, a week or two or month. They drift away. Most people don't stop praying just all of a sudden, boom, never pray again. Pray a little bit. Pray at their meals and maybe pray when a crisis hits. And then before long, they're just hardly praying at all. Most people don't stop giving or tithing. They just kind of miss a week or two or three or then before long, it's a month or two. And then a year goes by and you wonder, what happened? We're not bad people. Stay with me. We're just creatures of habit. Get quiet in here. We have to stir ourselves. We've got to stir ourselves about the things of God. We have to continually fan those flames. We have to watch our ears and we've got to watch our eyes. Hallelujah. Open those eyes and keep them wide open. Keep those ears wide open. And every time we come, to the Word, not just church, I'm talking about when you open the Word up, when you pray, you get there and you expect God to move in your life. Don't let this, give earnest heed to this. Pay close attention, especially we who have heard the Word, pay close attention to what we've heard lest it drift away. I mean, I could have people stand up all day long. We could talk about, any one of us could testify how we've easily drift away and come back. And anybody out there? Okay, not taking notes, but I'm just, you know, you don't have to confess for everybody. But I can remember times when I got complacent about reading the Bible, complacent about praying, or before long, it's a long time goes by. Hello? So now the ball's in my court. It's not just all on God. I've got to do my part to make this, you know, to make this thing happen. Hallelujah. All right, turn to, there's a couple places I want to turn to. Ephesians 4, turn there. Is this helping you? Yes. I know this is just not making us shout and holler and scream, but it's good nonetheless. Yes. Yes. Ephesians. See, this is how we are made. This is how we're designed. We're designed by God to succeed. We're programmed to fail. The world programs us to fail. But see, that's because we get wrapped up in doing the wrong things. Not bad things, just things that take us away from the Word. Things that take us away from faith in God. We get wrapped up in the world and we get wrapped up in the things and living our life. And, you know, and then we forget, hey, this whole thing's about Jesus. We need to believe God, amen? Don't get wrapped up in the economy. Listen, it'll get you all messed up. Get wrapped up in God's economy. Get your fulfillment from the Scripture. Get your pleasure and get your dreams and your visions and your goals. Get it from God. Get it from His Word. Look to God and see what He has to say for you in your future. Ephesians 4. Hallelujah. Notice this. 17 verse. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened. Wow. So if I kind of give in to the flesh, my eyes will get dull. They'll get dark. Get to where they don't see. So I want to make sure I'm not giving in to the flesh. There's some things I can do to keep my eyesight good. We're talking about putting in some contacts, something that will cause you to see a little better. Amen? This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind instead of God's mind, having their understanding darkened. Because they're walking in their mind, not God's mind. So what happens is the eyes of their understanding, the eyes of their spirit, are getting dulled and darkened because of sin. Now, don't think of big sins. Just talk about sins of not doing what God says to do. The less I obey God, the less I serve God, the less I pray for people, the less I lift up people, the less I go to church, the less I read my Bible, the more I will darken my eyes, and my eyes will start shutting spiritually. And so I'll hear the word, but it doesn't do anything for me. You want to see more? I want to see more. Anybody experienced what I'm talking about? We've all experienced it. Amen. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. In other words, God's talking to them, they're not listening. He's moving, they're not seeing it. Often God's moving in our life, we're not seeing it. Often we're not getting it. We're so wrapped up in a problem, we're so wrapped up in the natural, our eyes are just shut spiritually. And here He is ready to move on our behalf. We're about to die of thirst over here. He's got a well full of water over there. If we just open our eyes up, hello, if we don't dull our eyes and dull our hearing to the Word, and you dull it, sin will dull your hearing. Lack of use will dull your hearing. I don't care what trade you have. If you quit doing it, it's hard to pick it back up. The longer you wait, the harder it is to pick it back up. Now, you can get it back going again, but it takes a while to get started again. Amen? So it says here, 19th verse, who past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness and greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. Now, I love that. Keep the fire burning. Keep your eyes open. Just don't go through life with blinders on or with eyes shut. I mean, why in the world would you want to walk through life with your eyes shut? You're just going to run into things. Let's keep our eyes open. He's saying spiritual eyes. A lot of people walk around with their eyes shut. Sleepwalkers. They're everywhere. There's not a lot of people that are awake walking around. Awake, thou that sleepest, and Christ shall give thee light. Woo! Man, I want to wake up. How about you? You know, I lived a long time without being awake. I lived a long time without Jesus. And didn't know what was going on. I thought I did, but I was blind, and I thought I saw. In fact, I thought I saw so plainly I didn't need God and I didn't need anybody. Remember, they came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, are we blind? He said, well, if you say you're blind, then you can see. But if you say you see, you're blind. That was a paradox when you read that. But a person that thinks they know it all and don't need God is blind, blind, blind. A person that thinks they're blind and don't know anything and need God, starting to see now. You know, Socrates, he was the one that taught Plato. Plato taught Aristotle. Aristotle taught Alexander the Great. This is back around 400 B.C. before Christ. I'm not advocating Greek philosophy. But I always thought this was so neat about Socrates is the fact that he was considered the wisest man of his day in Athens, Greece. And he didn't really write anything. Plato wrote all those dialogues with Socrates in them. And that's how we know about Socrates and what he said and what he believed. But they talked about him being the wisest person. He says, well, he said, the reason I'm the wisest person because I know I don't know anything. And that was his whole life, asking questions. Someone would say something, and he would say, why? And then that's the way those Socratic dialogues would start out. Someone would make a statement. He said, well, is that true? And they said, well, of course it's true. Everybody knows that. And he said, well, is that really true, though? Well, let's think about it. And they would talk about it. And he would ask questions. He never just went into anything knowing anything. He would go into it open. That's kind of like coming to church with a full glass. If you come with a full glass, there's nothing else to get in there. But if you come with an empty one, we can fill it. If you come with a closed mouth, you're not going to get anything. But if you open thy mouth, I will fill it. That's what God said. Amen. If you come full at the table, you're not going to eat anything. But if you come hungry and empty, you're going to gobble it up. Isn't that right? So what you get is proportionate to the attitude you come with. Whether you come hungry, whether you come knowing you need this. You know, knowing I got to have this. I've got to hear from God. I've got to have something. I got to get something from God. I need God's wisdom in my marriage. I need God's wisdom in my business. I need God to speak to me in my life. I need His wisdom. I'm hungry. You're coming hungry now. So you're desiring. Now sin will kill that. And the word in your heart will kill sin. Psalms 119 verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Well, you could turn it around and, sin have I hid in my heart that I might not believe and trust you and serve you. Works the other way too. Turn over to 1 Peter or 2 Peter. I know it's one of the two. 1 Peter 2. That's what it's 1 Peter 2. It was 1:2. That's what was getting me all confused here. Now, you catching what we're talking about? Open your spiritual eyes. Open your spiritual ears. This is something we have to do. This is our obligation. This is our part to play. There's nothing magic about this. God does not do these things against our will. He does not reveal truth to us whether we want to hear it or not. No, we got to get in here and dig into it and get it. Amen? Yes. You're not going to just walk out of a service blessed with your socks blessed off. Okay? Bless my socks. I'm telling you. Woo! Well, you know what? You came hungry. Because I guess any service there would be somebody didn't get something. I mean, Jesus preached they'd get anything. Come on. Who's going to top that? We just got through reading Paul's preaching to him. Some were persuaded and some weren't. Some disbelieved. Jesus was doing miracles, not many because they wouldn't believe in his own hometown. They didn't receive them. Well, I wonder how Jesus could have done something a little better. Maybe he just tweaked that message a little bit and he... Are you kidding me? What in the world could Jesus have done? Jesus always did the best he could do. Always. Always anointed. The presence of God was there. The power of God was present to heal everywhere he went. But everybody wasn't ready. In fact, miracles took place in many cases. And it says those Pharisees and Sadducees would be so hard-hearted, they would think of ways they were going to kill him. Right in the middle of his meetings. Stephen, in one case, this is amazes me. Acts 7 chapter. Y'all remember? Don't turn there. What did I tell you to turn to? 1 Peter 2. Hold your place there. I'm going to get to it. Stephen, in one place. 7th chapter of the book of Acts is where they abducted him. He was one of the seven deacons when they had 20, 30,000 people in the church at Jerusalem, full of the Holy Ghost. He was a man known for signs, wonders, and miracles. And they abducted him, and he was the first Christian martyr. Well, he's given this oration about how God had moved through Moses, and he goes through the patriarchs and so on and so forth. And he comes down, and he says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised of heart, you always resist the Holy Ghost." He's preaching to them, and he says, "You know what the problem is? The problem's not God here. The problem's not you hadn't heard the word. The problem isn't that God's not moving. The problem is you are stiff-necked and you stiff-necked." And uncircumcised of heart. And you resist the Holy Ghost. Bless God, I'm not going to get anything out of that. Well, I've heard everything so-and-so has to say. Whatever the case may be. And then it says, he said he looked up and he says, "Hey, guys, I see heaven opened. I see God and the glory of God Jesus standing on the right hand of God." And it says they gnashed on him with their teeth. He's getting ready to go up into glory. He is just anointed. I mean, he is ready. And what are they doing? They're eating him. They're gnashing. It doesn't give you the whole picture, but I can just imagine them putting their hands over their ears. "I don't want to hear this." Gnashing on him with their teeth. Now, what was wrong with what he said? What was wrong with the vision he had? Nothing. But they were so hard-hearted, so stiff-necked, as it were, they didn't get it. I always love that story. It's the only time you see, only two times, really, that you see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He's seated at the right hand of God. That's what the Bible tells us. Ever living to make intercession for the saints. But he's standing up there because he's getting ready to receive Stephen. I love that. He stands up to receive him. And of course, they stoned him, and he looked up and he said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he went up into heaven. Hallelujah. The other time Jesus is standing, where he's standing up in heaven, and the doors open, Revelation, the fourth chapter of Revelation, and he's standing there and he says, "Come up hither and I'll show you things which must be hereafter." He's standing to receive John. And John was taken up into the heaven and got the revelation of the book of Revelation at that point. But the hardness of their heart, the anointing was there. A vision had taken place. Everything Stephen said was right. But they had resisted the Holy Ghost. Their sin stopped them. From their pride in their case. Spiritual pride just as bad as any other pride. Second chapter of 1 Peter. Y'all found it? Let me wrap this up. Is this helping you? Okay. Things to guard. Things to look out for. Things to enhance your spiritual eyes and your spiritual ears. There are things that we can do to hear better. You clean out your ears. Amen. You wash your eyes and get the film off. The film of this world. Get it off where you can see clear, see? I love it. You know, people say, "You guys go down to the church to get your brain washed." You betcha. We do. Everybody else out there still got a dirty brain. But we get ours washed. Hello? Thank God I got my brain washed. It was all filthy. I got it renewed. I got it transformed. I decided not to be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewed of my mind. I'd prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So it says here, 1 Peter 2, first verse, "Therefore lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure, the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." Whoa. Everybody say desire.
Desire.
So I can grow.
So I can grow.
Okay. But how do I desire? You got to lay aside malice, deceit, hypocrisy. Start laying sin aside. Start repenting of your sin. You'll kindle that fire again. You'll renew that desire again, and that hunger again for God and His Word. When you turn from sin, you want to go to God. As long as you're out in sin, the last place you want to be is in church. The last place you want to be is in the Word. But if you'll turn from sin, your desire for God will increase. Turn from pride. Hello. Bitterness. Anger. Those are things we probably deal with more than anything. We're not going to go rob a bank. Come on, we're Christians. You know, we're not going, probably not going to do that. It's not going to happen. But we can get bitter. We can get pride. We can think that we don't need that. Or we're just as good as anybody. Anybody that says they're just as good as anybody else doesn't believe it. Anytime I've ever told anybody I'm just as good as you are, I didn't believe it. Chew on that. We got a problem already if we're saying that. None of us are good. Come on. Only God's good.
All the time.
All the time. Hallelujah. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babe desire the pure, the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Ooh, I love that. So I can increase my ability or my desire or my ability to see or hear by, you know, laying aside sin, checking myself, laying aside the sin that does so easily beset me. Lay aside every weight and that sin which does so easily beset me. Listen, we're not immune to that. We all have to fight that. We all have to check ourselves to have an examination. And you know, I'm always searching my heart. Man, I'm repenting all the time. When was the last time you repented? Come on, I mean, you got to. I don't want to cut myself off from God. I can't afford that kind of luxury. You get the luxury to just be angry all the time, mad all the time. Well, I won't understand the word. I won't have the anointing. Are you kidding me? Why would I cut myself off like shooting yourself in the foot? I mean, get mad at somebody and just cut your foot off. I can't believe they did that or said that. Get a hammer and just hit yourself. You're killing yourself. Just get rid of it. Amen. Okay, one more. We'll quit. Proverbs. Boy, y'all are tough. Are y'all still with me? That's good stuff. Amen. If you can come in here and let me just beat on you and chisel at you and fire away at you for 45 minutes here, you're tough. You're going to make it. Proverbs 1. You know, when it comes to this topic, this is one of my favorite verses when I think about it. You know, the things of God are revealed by the Spirit. We know that. You're not smart enough to get it. I'm not smart enough to get it. Only God can reveal it to you, which that's a good thing. But that assumes we allow Him to do so. That assumes we open ourselves up to Him. It says in Proverbs 1, verse 23, turn at my rebuke or my reproof. Everybody say turn. Now, you know, you can know what's wrong, but if you don't turn, you got to turn from it. Are you with me? Surely, I will pour out my Spirit on you, and I will make my words known to you. Wow. I can gauge the level of my education, I guess you'd say. The level of my promotions, whether I go from the first grade to the second grade to third grade. I can fail a grade, stay there a little longer. I can go around Mount Sinai another time. It's my choice. Or I can actually turn at God's reproof and He'll pour His Spirit out unto me, because that's how He makes truth known, is by His Spirit. We're talking about spiritual eyes, spiritual hearing, and spiritual seeing. If I turn at sin, I turn away from sin at His rebuke, His reproof. Stay with it. He'll pour His Spirit out to me and He'll make known His words to me. Yeah. My understanding, the eyes of my understanding will be enlightened again. Amen. My ears are no longer dull. My eyes are no longer shut. Hallelujah. Now I can see with my eyes and I can hear with my ears. And these things won't slip or drift away from me, because I'm giving more earnest heed and paying more close attention to them. I'm laying aside malice and pride and all these things, and I'm desiring the sincere milk of the Word, and I'm growing thereby. I'm not just hearing the Word, I'm getting it. I'm getting it. Amen? That's where we want to be. We want to be at that place. We're not just hearing the Word, we're hearing the Word. Yeah. Does that make sense? You didn't just hear that sermon, you heard that sermon. And you're walking around going, I heard that. You know what I mean? I heard that, man. I heard that. You know, you get it. You know, you get a revelation. Yeah. Amen. You know, that's when you get it. You're hearing it now. You might have heard it before, but now you're hearing it. Hallelujah. Because you're opening those eyes up. You're coming hungry. You're coming with an empty glass so God can fill it. Praise God. Well, everybody ready to hear? Amen.